Good morning, everyone. A dual focus here on The Takeaway on the big story that we've been following all week. Yes, there's the cyber war you were just hearing about once again. The anonymous site, which is targeting various places like PayPal and MasterCard.com. But at the same time that these battles in cyberspace are taking place, there are also more leaks coming out, more information from the WikiLeaks archive that's gradually emerging into the news. We wanted to make sure that we keep the focus on that as well. And joining us now, once again, Andrew Laren, reporter at The New York Times, who's been one of the principal members of the New York Times team going through the thousands of cables that are part of these stories and documents and really this whole WikiLeaks phenomenon. Andrew, good morning once again.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Great. Let's talk about three details that I think there was some risk they would get lost in the news cycle as we focused on the war part of this. Let's begin with the Saddam Hussein execution. There are some cables which seem to suggest that the U.S. had something of a direct role in that, I guess it was described at the time as a botched execution or certainly a barbaric moment in the history of Iraq. What do we know?
Well, you've pretty much summed it up, that there was a cable like that.
But what was the direct role? I mean, what was the U.S. actually doing, encouraging to happen?
I have to apologize on that one. I have to go back and check. I've been working on so many cable stories. That one I'm not as up to speed on.
Well, it was certainly a shock to realize that Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad commented that the supporters of Saddam would use a poorly conducted execution as an excuse to condemn what he said was a fair trial. There was some information that was actually reported in your paper that the U.S.
Right.
assisted in the construction of the scaffold for Saddam Hussein, which certainly shocked me. Let's move to the story on Sudan. Somali piracy and diplomatic cables combined to produce a fairly tantalizing piece of information. What's going on there?
This one is incredibly interesting. This is showing how Soviet-era tanks, 67 tanks, were being sold by the Ukraine, ostensibly. Both the Ukrainian and Kenyan governments were claiming these tanks were going to the Kenyan military. But in fact, what the cables show is that U.S. intelligence was tracking these and knew that these were actually being routed up to southern Sudan. And what happened is along the way they were intercepted by pirates.
And so the pirates sort of blow the cover on this arms transshipment, and the diplomatic cables now blow the cover on what seems to be a Kenyan role in supplying arms to one of the most sort of brutal civil wars going on in the world right now that some have even called a genocide. All kinds of policy implications there, wouldn't you say?
That's exactly right.
I mean, the question...
That's exactly the concerns that were being echoed in the cables, too.
And, you know, what's interesting is that there is talk constantly about pressure on China for its support of Sudan over the Darfur matter, but I'm surprised that something like this wouldn't be made public by the State Department when our relationship with Kenya seems to be relatively low stakes. This ought to be something that the U.S. would have influence on, yet it seems to just be a piece of information that just sort of floats through the ether.
Right. Well, one of the things the cables do show is that there seemed to be an acknowledgement that there might be a pipeline like this. But, you know, you bring up a good point, too, because the cables also show concerns that these are relatively impoverished countries. And the concern is that even if they get tanks, where will they be, say, 5 years from now? Could they end up in the hands of people we don't know about who we could be greatly concerned about?
Well, that's interesting. So let's take apart how you conduct the journalism here. So you find this fact. I guess what you want to do now is investigate up the chain and see if it produced any sort of subsequent cables that might have criticized Kenya, or move sort of across the chain to figure out if it has something to do with maybe supplying terrorists with tanks. Do you also follow the money here as well?
We do follow the money, and we've been doing stories looking at how money has been flowing around in various channels throughout the world on various issues.
Oh, it's pretty interesting. And, of course, you know, it's going to take you quite a while to get to the bottom of this. Let's move to the U.S. and China on quite another matter. The Nobel Prize winner Liu Xiaobo is not
right
in Oslo, but the whole WikiLeaks disclosure in the last couple of weeks gives us an indication of the severity of China's reaction to him winning the Nobel Prize. Give us a sense there.
Well, not only the sense of him winning the prize, the sense of how worried they were that he might win the prize, and the levels that they would go through trying to gauge his odds of getting the prize, suggesting people who perhaps might win the prize. If it has to go to someone from China, why not somebody else? And just hoping that he was not going to be the recipient, as well as following him in all the other spy versus spy activities that they would engage in.
And the Chinese both have a sophisticated set of tools in dealing with the Internet and a fairly sharply drawn paranoia about the Internet as actual threat to Chinese control. What have you found there?
I think you might be referring to a story that we had last week, which was looking at how the Chinese military operations appear to be preparing all different kinds of viruses, and they've actually tested them. And the concern is, first it almost seems to be almost a proof of concept. Can we, are they able to infect computers in the West? And then, of course, the greater concern is what they might do once they realize that they can breach these kinds of securities.
Andrew Larin, reporter at The New York Times, looking at the actual leaks as the cyber wars continue. What are we learning from this database from WikiLeaks? Andrew, thanks again, as always.
Thank you, John.
We're posing a question for all of you this morning. What if Bush v. Gore had gone for Gore instead of Bush, and we would have had a Gore presidency? Andreas gives us this response. Maybe the U.S. and U.K. would not be in Iraq, and more U.S. citizens would have a better understanding of the climate issues. But 9/11 would have happened. The BP accident would have happened. WikiLeaks would have happened. And local NPR stations would have continued to interrupt programming to ask for donations. What do you think?